Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. We've brought you some incredible entrepreneurial stories, and today I have a true quintessential entrepreneur. Puneet Nanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Puneet is also called Guru Nanda. He is from the UCLA Anderson School of Management. In his own words, he's a true disruptor and a serial entrepreneur. He founded Dr. Fresh Toothbrushes, sold them in 67 countries, which is now the number 3 oral care company in USA. He's the author of a Wall Street Yoga, and I think he's gone back to his passion, which is Ayurveda. So Puneet, talk to us a little bit about your early journey and what led you to founding Dr. Fresh.
So Dr. Fresh, I wanted to actually do something that is being used by a black or a white, male or female, child or adult, no demarcation, something that somebody uses every darn day. And then I decided a toothbrush is something like I use personally every darn day, first thing I get up in the morning. And but then the goals were pretty steep. There was big companies like Colgate and Oral-B, and I said, there's no real small player there. The reason is these guys have great distribution. These are brands that are already being registered for 100 plus years in everybody's minds. How do I do something unique? So I wanted to innovate something and bring to people something that is very, very unique through innovation. Simultaneously, I wanted to focus on areas where these people are not really paying attention to. So when I started in US, I actually saw that dollar stores was one area that these big retail brands, CPG companies like Colgate, were not really paying attention to. Mm-hmm. They were thinking this to be a downtrodden market. And then when I saw the products in dollar stores, it was very cheap quality toothbrushes from China. And I said, if I can bring a true Colgate quality product, bring it to the dollar stores, that would innovate and disrupt. Simultaneously, the second big break came because my daughter was wearing light up shoes. And I thought, why don't I make up a light up toothbrush? Mm-hmm. I actually took a button from one of those Disney walkways where when you twist the button, it flashes, put it behind a toothbrush, gave it to my daughter. And she came back after 5 minutes and said, Dad, would this brush ever turn off, or should I brush my teeth off? So that gave me an idea that I've created a psychological compliance amongst a kid that would actually be induced to brush. So that became our true disruptor. And today it's the world's number one selling kids toothbrush called Firefly. Wow. And the third big thing came with Reach toothbrush, which I bought because Johnson & Johnson was not paying attention, and we were able to take it, truly disrupt the market by bringing in amazing quality innovation that kind of took Walmart's and Walgreens by storm.
Wow. I could never have imagined such detailing goes into my daily toothbrush.
That's true.
And where do you manufacture these?
So toothbrushes like Reach were originally manufactured in United States itself. Mm-hmm. I was able to renegotiate pricing and get almost 30% below J&J pricing just because of my Indian roots. Mm-hmm. And then apart from that, the Firefly was manufactured originally in China. Okay. In the factories which used to manufacture mostly light up products. Like light up beads and light up mm-hmm. necklaces.
Yeah.
So I was able to get them to manufacture my product.
Amazing. And you said you are now in 67 countries.
So yes, Dr. Fresh is being sold in over 67 countries.
That must need a very, very large organization.
So I was able to buy in 2007 when the market went down. I was able to buy some amazing distribution companies for negligible dollars. That really gave us inroads into Europe. So I was able to buy a Hasbro company that Hasbro really did not want, and I was able to buy it pennies on a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But it had great distribution. I truly changed the way they were selling toys, and they were selling all shampoos and conditioners. I actually took their distribution line and induced toothbrushes into it, and I was able to get that rolling.
Okay.
So that gave me entire Europe opening. And then similarly, I did something in Southeast Asia as well.
And are your products available in India as well?
No, they're not. In India, we really did not venture because India did not have the right distribution model,
mm-hmm.
or it was a business of its own. Mm-hmm. And I was too involved. I wanted automation in India. In those days, it is not that easy to come do that business.
So, you know, from oral care, which is such a major business segment, you transitioned into Ayurveda, yoga, and wellness with your new company, Guru Nanda LLC.
So while doing my oral care business, I was working 17, 18 hours a day, mm-hmm. Eating bad. I was eating McDonald's and Jack in the Box, and I'd grown very big. I'd also...
You look very fit now.
I was like about 40 pounds dearer at that time. And I was also not exercising, not moving much, was working mostly sitting on a chair all day long in front of a computer. And at one point, when I got an offer, and at that time, simultaneously, I was going through a kind of a midlife crisis in my head, because I was thinking, why am I doing this? And incidentally enough, one day I had a little chest pain. Thank God it was not a heart attack or anything, but ended up in a hospital due to 911, and they said, you have a nervous breakdown. So that was kind of an eye-opening thing, and I said, I'm going to take it easy, maybe sell this business and do something better for my health, because
mm-hmm.
Life is a journey and death is the destination. I'm not going to run towards destination. So I decided to just take it easy and do something different.
So, you know, I know you do a lot of essential oils in Guru Nanda LLC, but why don't you tell us about all the different things you do in Guru Nanda? And so, first tell me, how do you get the name Guru Nanda?
So, very interesting. When I sold the company, I took a year off. I went to different ashrams around the globe. So, I spent some time in Osho Ashram. Then I spent a couple of months in some ashram in Kerala, another couple of places in Bangalore, a couple of places in above Rishikesh, and then a few places in China and Thailand. So I kind of did my ashram journey for a year,
mm-hmm.
and I became a yoga teacher in the meanwhile. Also, I learned Ayurveda, and I decided to open up a yoga studio in Beverly Hills. So that's what I did, and a lot of young girls who were coming to the studio were using essential oils that were being manufactured by doTERRA and Young Living. And these are multi-level marketing companies mm-hmm. that were $1 billion each company. But then I saw almost 99% of the market flooded on Amazon as well as in retail, big stores that were selling either 100% mislabeled oils or fake oils or synthetic oils or just perfumes, mm-hmm. naming them essential oils. Because there's no name rules and regulations in the United States and the rest of the world, actually, that makes sure, for example, you can buy at a dollar store a bottle, 1 liter bottle of mouthwash or a shampoo or a conditioner that has a girl literally flying in lavender gardens that says lavender inside, but there's not even 0.00001% lavender. Then there's a huge company which has come out with a line of air fresheners and stuff that says big essential oils on it, and then very small is written inspired by essential oils. So there is so much mess in the market that I said there must be somebody who can bring a very good quality product like doTERRA and Young Living to the market at affordable prices, and there's nobody else. So I started my journey. I went farm to farm across the globe. It gave me an opportunity to actually see the world. I went to 17 different countries, 40 locations, formed a farming alliance and bought these essential oils, farm to bottle. And Guru Nanda was actually the name of my yoga studio.
Okay.
The reason I kept it Guru Nanda is because I'm Puneet Nanda.
Yeah.
And Teacher Nanda was kind of my, because everybody would call me Teacher Nanda. So I called it Guru Nanda, which is in Indian language.
I hope you've patented the name.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Guru Nanda. I learned this very quickly in my early entrepreneurial journey, because in Dr. Fresh, I did trademarking all over the globe except China.
Uh-huh.
And somebody in China stole my name, and I had to pay him eight figures in US dollars to get my name back. So I learned that early on. So the moment I start anything, I patent it or I trademark it. That's my first real investment always now.
Terrific. So coming back to essential oils, you know, aromatherapy is becoming big all over the world. And oils are being used for aromatherapy as well. Why is this happening? Is it because there's too much stress in the world?
Number one, you're right. Aromatherapy is becoming huge because truly this sense of smell is one of the most primitive things in the world, actually. Even if we go somewhere, we want to smell our food like a dog and then eat in case we don't know where we are, because we don't know if it is 10 days old or not. And we right away know if it is. You remember these smells. These go directly into your brain from your nose, so you don't have to pass through the liver or anything. It goes directly into the limbic system and it gets stored there. So good smells, let's say if you went to a Ritz-Carlton and you smelt sandalwood, you'll remember it for the rest of your life, that, oh, that was the specific smell. So, and simultaneously bad smells. And that is very interesting. Plus, aromatherapy is growing because, yes, there is a lot of stress. And there is a lot of studies that true lavender actually relaxes you down.
Mm-hmm.
And there is other essential oils that change my own life. I used to sneeze a lot. I had a lot of allergies. I was on Claritin, which is equivalent to Allerid in India.
Yeah.
Which is, I used to eat it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would sneeze 50, 100, 200 times early morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Greece into a distillery, and this old man, 90 years old, he saw me, he gave me a drop of pure Greek high carvacrol content oregano oil, one drop.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me to take it in a lot of water, shake it really well and take it for 3 times that day. And I was with him the whole day. So next day morning when I woke up, never took a Claritin, never sneezed.
Wow.
And since then, I've never sneezed.
Wow.
Means once in a while, whenever I feel like I'm going down, I'll take a drop of that particular oil and I'm cured. I used to fall sick literally once a year at least for 2 weeks or a week. I haven't fallen sick for last 4 years, or even if I do fall sick, it's for no more than one day.
So what you're saying is that, you know, Guru Nanda handles essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
You've been sourcing essential oils from 17 different countries. The use of essential oils is either direct consumption or smell, or in stuff that we use.
Absolutely. So oregano oil, either you could take it in, but you have to be very smart about doing it, because 90% of the market is flooded with synthetic perfumes. You can't, if you ingest that could be poisonous.
Mm.
So you have to be very careful in what you're doing. And I guarantee you one thing, that every drop of Guru Nanda has my last name behind it. So it's 100% pure and natural.
Yeah.
I put my family behind it. So, but most of the oils I would ingest.
For our information, for oils that you ingest, you said that some oil from Greek helped you cure sneezing. Give us one or two more examples of oils for our different other parts of the body or
so. So, for example, lavender. There's a sleep issue. Sleep, biggest problem in America today because of stress and because of every other reason is sleep. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you that if you take true lavender, now not the lavender that is available in the market that I've seen is mostly Levendine. Mm-hmm. Levendine is the cheapest variety of lavender that was created by French people to fight the virus and the bacteria that was killing the lavender plant.
Okay.
So they added camphor and genetically modified and hybrided it. And so it would never die and it would be grown on the plain fields of Provence.
Mm-hmm.
So when those lush fields that you see in Provence are actually Levendine.
Mm-hmm.
Levendine has camphor content in it. That camphor content is basically counterintuitive to the linalool content in lavender. So that camphor content actually invigorates you.
Mm.
So instead of relaxation that lavender has been studied for, it would be invigorating. Similarly, if somebody has a scar issue, like somebody gets a burn injury and if you put Levendine, which is also called lavender, it could actually make it worse because of the camphor. But lavender itself would heal your burn injury and you would never have a scar left.
Amazing.
Similarly, you wanted some other examples. There are amazing oils like helichrysum oil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if you have aging issue and you start to feel
wrinkles
and all the things that come with aging spots. If you actually, and I know as a man you would never do it because men are lazy, but if a woman actually uses the helichrysum oil, maybe diluted in jojoba oils, and actually applies it every day for a few weeks or months, she would actually get rid of them. It's unbelievably working.
Amazing.
And similarly, other oils, if you want, I can go on and on.
No, I'm sure. But, you know, one more question for Guru Nanda before I move to another part of the chat. You mentioned that Guru Nanda is a social entrepreneurship project.
So
what does this mean?
The reason I said social entrepreneurship is, number one, not only we are taking care of bringing 100% pure and natural product, we're also actually adding love to it because, for example, in Haiti, we have a project where we source our product from. That company is actually now being able to add a school to there for the farmers. We have another similar project where we have an orphanage attached to a farm that we are buying our peppermint from, and so similar things we have done, and we also bring it at a cost where it is cost plus 15% is where we have actually started doing. So that 15% is enough to pay for our employees and our expenses. So it's not really a hugely profitable project. It's more like to bring the real product to the market.
Understood. So, moving to the next segment, 500,000-600,000 people watch our video cast, podcast every month. A lot of them are either startup entrepreneurs or people who are aspiring to be startup. And you've done 2 startups, and I'm sure, without knowing it, I'm sure you mentor a lot of them and you might be funding a lot of them as well. My question to you is, based on your experience, what are some of the mistakes startup entrepreneurs make?
So I would say the number one mistake they make is they raise a lot of money. I would say you need to bootstrap everything if you really want to do a good job. For example, when I started my second project, even though I teach other people bootstrap it, I made the mistake of not bootstrapping a lot of things. And I think wherever I did that mistake, I wasted money.
Mm-hmm.
So to make a project successful and to learn it from base grounds up, you have to bootstrap it. There's no second thought about it. And you have to learn the tricks of the trade from day one. And you have to do everything from your own hands day one. And you have to make sure whatever you do is very cost consciously done from day one.
Correct.
Secondly, big mistake that people do, which I did, I told you, is they don't trademark or they don't patent their inventions. And not that you have a lot of money. If there is any money in the startup, I would make sure I trademark and I patent. I did not do it in China last go around and I had to pay dearly for it and a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And I fought for my brand name, Dr. Fresh, all the way till the Supreme Court in China, and stood in minus 10 degrees for days mm-hmm. in Beijing courts where they don't listen to you.
I agree. So one more question on startups. I mean, you know, you built Dr. Fresh, scaled it up to six or seven countries, and then exited. At what stage should a startup start to scale up?
I believe that when you start the business, you need to see the end of it, day one. So you don't start a business till you can actually see where you want to go, is my thought, and you may be different means. I actually want to know where I want to go and then kind of backtrack everything to where I am today and then form my own path. So I always say planning to fail is failing to plan. Oh, sorry, the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And so I make sure I plan my journey, not every second of it, but I kind of plan my strategy around, okay, here's where I want to be. When I did Dr. Fresh, I wanted to be like a Colgate, or I wanted to be at least an alternative to Colgate available at a better price. So I had something in mind. When I started Guru Nanda, I wanted to be number one in essential oils in food, drug, mass in America. And I'm today number one in America already in 4 years. We've uprooted a company, Nature's Bounty, which was in Walmart, which is a $4.4 billion company. We've uprooted their products and kept our products in Walmart. So basically gives you the reason we were able to do it is because we went into depth of every knowledge is key. So learn what you do is another thing that I would say.
Okay.
So make sure whatever you're going to do, you have in-depth knowledge of what you do.
Wonderful. So moving on to your third avatar, if I could call it, which is your book. Tell us a little bit about your book, Wall Street Yoga.
So Wall Street Yoga was actually made because I thought business people, which I call Wall Street people, are very stressed out mm-hmm. and they have not only got issues with their own business life, personal life, and combination of it can give them extra stress mm-hmm. Beyond what their bodies are meant to be. So Wall Street's yoga was made to calm your mind, not just take care of your body. So I always say business is very induced by yoga. The three principles of yoga are flexibility, strength, and balance. And as long as you're following these three principles in business, you'll be successful. So I built Wall Street Yoga according to these three principles.
Okay. And it's available on Amazon.
It is available on Amazon. It's pretty much, and it is available on Amazon for money, the hard copy, but it is free to download. Okay. Now, I made it free just because as a part of my Guru Nanda entrepreneurial, social entrepreneurial project, I took away the money part of it.
Okay.
And people can actually download it free on the website.
Okay. So, Puneet, a few questions about you personally.
Yes, sir. Right.
Tell me three adjectives that would describe you and your strengths.
That's a very good question. I would say honesty, hard work, and passion.
Okay. Honesty, hard work, and passion. Wow.
Yes.
When was the last time you did something for the first time?
When was the last time I did something for the first time is probably yesterday.
Okay.
So I actually looked at a specific project yesterday. I wouldn't divulge the project, but yesterday that's adjoining kind of my business with my business, but not necessarily. And I took a road trip all the way to Baddi to go there, and which I was not used to. I just, this thought came out in my mind day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I took the effort, and it was not pleasant, believe me,
Fantastic.
Going all the way from Delhi.
Fantastic. So my next question to you is, you know, you've been very, very successful in multiple areas. What is the secret of your success?
The three things that I told you, honesty, passion, and hard work.
Okay.
I really get passionate. I study that project, and I work hard towards it, and I work honestly to get that goal done.
Okay. So I only have two more questions left for you. One question is on failure, because as Indians, somehow nobody tells us how important it is to understand failure. We always are told how important it is to come first and win. What are some of your learnings from some of your mistakes or failures?
I actually fail more often than you could even imagine.
Okay.
I fail at almost every project, 100% of them. And then I improve and come back.
Okay.
So there's not one thing I've done that has actually not failed.
Okay.
And every time starting from Firefly, when I came up with that toothbrush, I sold it for $298 to Walgreens, and it did not sell. Walgreens wanted to me to pick it back up, and I requested the buyer. I said, I'm new to the business, you know, I'm really, I'd be helpful if you could let me try to offload it at 99 cents. And at 99 cents, within the next 2 weeks, everything got sold out. So I knew that there's a market, but at a different price point. Similarly, there was H1N1 in America, I imported 70 containers of Infectigard branded hand sanitizers. And all of a sudden, that thing went away. So I was loaded with 70 containers of Infectigard hand sanitizers. I didn't know what to do with it. So I found a way that I started selling to World Health Organization, giving it free initially to Africa. So basically, you find your way out.
Wonderful. So my last question to you comes back again to at startups. Lots of young people looking at starting up. What would your advice be to them when they're looking at starting a new venture?
Don't copy. Try something innovative and try to find an area which is actually being ignored by people. For example, just to give you an example, when I was looking at Dr. Fresh, how to get it into retail, I saw dollar stores being ignored by the major guys. So I focused on that. Then I saw kids' toothbrushes being ignored by the big companies because they didn't think it was big enough business. I focused on that. So you always focus on where people are not paying attention to. You pay attention to where people are not paying attention to. Even though it may be a small market, you form a niche there, and that gives you a runway to grow from there. And then you can come and compete with them in their main segments.
Puneet, thank you very much. Talking to you has been an absolute pleasure, and I wish you all success.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Good to actually talk to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.